Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
What do girls want anyway? Well, apparently not total losers. We're pretty good at basketball. Yeah, as long as we don't have to run or jump or dribble or nothing.
Isaac Rob.
Hey, you guys up for a little game?
Sure.
Well, let's make it interesting. Say $20.
How about 50?
You're on.
Jason Sukanik.
Dude, we don't have $50. We don't have 20.
This is Prime Time on the Fan Sports Network.
What the hell's up with that? We win, and they get the chicks. That sucks, dude.
105.1 and 1080.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's jobs. We gotta get jobs. Then we get the khakis. Then we get the chicks.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Joey Harrington next hour. In the News is coming up here in about 20 minutes. Your noted newsman standing by. But we've got a little bit more audio to play for you.
Okay.
Here on The Fan. 105.1 The Fan, that is. The Fan Global Sports Network.
Damn right.
That has just been, I mean, everybody's talking about it.
There's a buzz.
The message boards.
The kids.
The social media, kids.
You know, I hang out at the middle schools quite a bit, and let me tell you.
All the moms.
The seventh graders and the moms talking about it.
So, Yong Han Sen.
Mm-hmm. Sensation.
Well, I'd say maybe slow down a little bit on that.
Han Sensation?
Did you see that his debut in Summer League, more people watched that in China than the NBA final, than the NBA finals?
Yeah, 5.2 million people or something? 5.4?
You think the Blazers will move to China?
Look, I'll say this. For the league, the guy's averaging like 10, 11 points.
Depends on the new owner.
And it'll be fine. Whatever. Like, I get we're over our skis. But make no mistake, for the NBA, this is a big deal. How many people are in China? A couple bill? And they haven't had a Chinese player. What you had Yao, and then who was the guy for the Jersey and Bucks? Is it?
Yi Jianlian.
Yeah, who ended up being a bust. So when 5+ million people are tuning in to his summer league games, and there are reporters covering his every move here from China for the summer league, this is a big deal, and it's the hype is not going away anytime soon. It's going to be a thing.
Well, I think that's a good thing. That element of it, a bad element of it is that I think we're.
Yes.
Expectations are already too high.
It's going to be tough, but by all accounts, it sounds like he's taking it really well, and he's handling it well.
Well, he seems like a fun guy.
Yes.
Han Sen.
Yong. No, other way around.
Yeah. So, Jokic, he's the Chinese Jokic.
Yes.
Okay, that's what they say.
Yeah, it's a little ridiculous. But
apparently, he loves Jokic.
Yes.
And so, this is why I teased asking the question. How do we feel about autographs amongst peers?
Yeah.
Because I remember when, I think it was, who was it? I think it was a Blazer, asked Kobe for his autograph.
Mm-hmm.
I forget who it was.
And it got weird?
I'm racking my, well, you're not supposed to, I mean, come on, dude. And this was when they were competing against one another.
Sure.
Like, dude, come on.
It's become a pretty regular thing.
But now it is, yeah.
The jersey swaps are a regular.
Jersey swaps, although that's not really like an autograph. That's, but yeah, it's the same, along the same
But they
line.
Sign their jerseys.
Yeah. I guess it's just.
It's become a thing.
It just was frowned upon.
Yeah.
When it first happened. Like, you were not supposed to do that. No. It's like, imagine Michael Jordan doing that. Dude, he ain't doing that.
No, it would not happen.
Did it start in Europe with soccer? Were they the first ones to do it, and then we started doing it here?
I don't know. I when I was playing, it was not, I don't ever remember this being a thing. And that was 20 years ago. So, I want to say maybe 10-ish years ago, like all of a sudden this, and now it's everywhere. I mean, I don't think there's a game that I don't see in the NFL and in the NBA where you don't see a jersey swap. And then they sign him, and then they take the photo, and you move on. There's a great clip of Aaron Donald yelling at the other team because two guys are fighting for the jersey. You guys can fight over it because they're both saying in the middle of the game they want it.
So Young has asked for Jokic's headshot with an autograph.
His headshot?
Yeah. He wants a photo.
That's weird.
And then he wants it autographed. Hmm. Here is the audio. And by the way, on here, this is kind of hard. This is like a, you'll hear them ask Young about it.
Yeah.
And then you'll hear Jokic being asked about Young asking for it.
Sure.
We have a message from one of your biggest fans in China who happened to get drafted this year. And here's a message right here.
So you always say like Nikola Jokic like is my idol. So if you meet him in the regular season, what question you ask him? Picture, signature.
He's good. He's good. I think
this is Jokic.
I'm happy when he gets in the prime that I'm gonna be out of the league probably. No, I'm not actually. So he's talented. Yes, we can have a picture of whatever he wants, and only if he played bad against me, let's say like that. If I destroy him and I score a lot of points, then yes. If he do that, no.
Yeah. So if you didn't hear it, yeah, I kind of like that answer too, because that kind of rides the line of like. Yeah. Hey, this is kind of weird. I'm not going to give you... I'm competing against you. I want to rip your throat out.
Like, if you give me a bad night, I ain't doing the picture thing with you.
Exactly. And he's probably serious. But then if he kicks his ass, which he probably will at first, then it's like, come on in here, kid.
It's a valid point. Like, if you just got your ass busted by a rookie, you ain't giving him...
No.
You ain't giving him the
jersey. I would be pissed if I... And again, this is a dumb fan thing. Yeah. But if I'm a Denver fan and I see Jokic get worked by Young and then posing for pictures with him, I'm not happy about that.
I'm not going to lie. I had that... It's not the same thing, but I committed a crime. We got our ass... I've told the story. We got our asses kicked by Syracuse, and one of the guys on my team... Like one of the dip-ass backup running backs wore a Syracuse hat onto the plane after we got embarrassed on national television. And I told him to take it off. He didn't take it off. So I took it off of it.
So you committed a crime.
I did. I committed a crime. Like nowadays, I'd probably be thrown off the team. It was a real reactionary on my part, involved a Snapple bottle. It wasn't good. Not my proudest moment.
A Snapple bottle?
Yeah.
Those things are heavy.
Yeah, it's not good. Again.
Did you crack a Snapple bottle over his head?
I did.
Hey, I know this story, and Suk gave him many chances to take the hat off.
Again, we got embarrassed on national television bad.
I get it.
And he didn't really play. Who on earth wears the team's hat that just whipped your ass on ESPN national television, and you wear it on the airplane of the and you're sitting amongst the group that just got embarrassed, a.k.a. the offensive line? I was like, are you kidding me? And his thing was, no. He goes, I traded with a player, and I'm going to wear that hat. I told him to take it off. He said, no. I said, take it off. I'll take it off you. I probably should have just taken it off him. I didn't need to hit him with the Snapple bottle, but, you know, it wasn't
Do you ever need to hit him with the Snapple bottle?
Look, it's not my finest moment, but, you know, it happened.
Yeah, I get it. I get what you...
But it would have been the same thing. Had I seen him after that game... So Dwight Freeney was on that team, and Dwight Freeney was really good. Had I seen that guy... Or my roommate, by the way, I think he gave up like 9 sacks to him that day. If I had seen my roommate, who literally got benched that game because of Dwight Freeney, if I had seen him go up to him and ask for his jersey, there would have been a problem. I would have, yes, I would not have, intervention would have happened. But now, I don't know. I don't know how that, because it's so commonplace now, but I don't think it's commonplace if you get worked. And
There's always a loser. Like when they swap jerseys, there's a loser.
Yeah, it's the difference between losing.
So if you get canned like 38-3, are coaches around the league getting mad that guys are doing that? Because it feels like they're still doing that.
I wouldn't like it.
It's a weird line. I think there's a time and a place, and I don't know. And maybe that's all it is. It's a feeling out process, but it certainly has become commonplace. But it was not common. Way back when.
I just feel like
But if I played Ohtani, I would want an Ohtani jersey.
Okay.
That's pretty...
maybe. I mean, you may want that.
Yeah.
But see, I look at it differently.
What if he strikes you out three times?
If I played Ohtani, I may want an Ohtani jersey, but I would never tell anyone that.
Yeah.
And I would not go get an Ohtani jersey from Ohtani.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't do it. Like, it's like, that's who that's my peer.
Yeah. Well, so now
I'm playing against.
And now you see guys, the athletes, when you, you watch them in like their little MTV crib sort of things, they all have the framed jerseys of all the guys that they played with and against. They have them like up in their like trophy room. It's just become a different, it's a different era. And that's like with Michael and Larry and those guys that get mad because they're all friends now.
And it used
to be more of a.
Well, and that hurts. I think that's a bad thing about the NBA.
Yeah. Well, like LeBron and his buddies vacation together in the offseason. And like Jordan wasn't doing that.
I want them to hate each other. The rivalries were great back in the day. And I think those guys were wired to, I don't know, that just, I'm going to sound like the old man here, but I kind of like the, screw you, I don't, get your stupid jersey out of here. I don't want your jersey. I'm trying to kick your ass.
Hey, at least the Big Tariff doesn't want a jersey. He wants a 8x10, which, by the way, I think that's weirder. I'd rather him ask for the jersey than
I think
the,
he just said he wants to take a photo with him and then have him sign it.
Yeah.
But I don't love that. Come on, Young.
Hey, man, it's a different world. It's a different world.
Yeah, I don't chalk it up to that. I chalk it up to weakness.
Back in my day.
That's right. These weak-ass kids.
Again, I don't have anything to say. Again, crimes were committed back in the day.
Well, I would say this. I want my teammates with that mentality. That's what I want.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well,
I don't want him with the Syracuse hat kids mentality.
I
think it does say something about you.
Yes.
That if you, especially at a high level, if you are competing.
Yes.
In the NBA or even college football, just at a high level, I think it says something about you if you want to get an autograph or swap a jersey with one of your peers.
Especially to me after losing. I guess maybe in basketball or the NBA, there's so many. Basketball and baseball, there's so many games, but I don't know. A football, there's such a limited number of games. It seems weird to me that you would lose and that would be your thought process. I can't say that
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Is that I just think sometimes, particularly in the NBA, guys show their true colors. They really don't care about winning or losing. Yeah. It doesn't matter to them.
I'm collecting my check. I'm doing my thing.
What matters is their points and their contract.
Yeah.
And fans don't like that.
And getting cool jerseys to hang up.
Losers. they should unleash me on the NBA.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I can see both sides of that. I tend to agree with you, but I also try not to be old, high-T curmudgeon guy back in my day. And I can see both sides of it, but I would tend to lean towards your way of thinking on that.
Up next, don't sell your Super Bowl tickets. 105.1 The Fan.
So good.
All right.
So good.
In the news coming up next, where we will disseminate local news you can use from your local newsman and news contributor. But first, a bunch of NFL players are in trouble for selling their Super Bowl tickets.
Yeah, which, by the way,
over face value.
Let me tell you right now.
Oops.
That happens every year with every player. It just
well,
does.
Why are they? So this is at least 100 NFL players from roughly half of the 32 teams face fines and possible suspensions for selling their allotted tickets to this year's Super Bowl above face value in violation of league policies.
The last time that this happened, Mike Tice, who was the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, he got dinged.
Didn't he lose his job?
I don't know if he lost his job, but he got in some trouble. He may have lost his job because he sucked and he was a douche. And he was, by the way. But he got in trouble for this. And yet, everyone does it. No one sells their tickets for face value. And I mean, no.
So they just, this just must be a year where they're cracking down.
Yeah. I don't know how they track
or just showing guys like, don't be dumb about it.
Yeah. I mean, when I was in Tampa, we had a guy, a linebacker who was like me. He was on the practice squad, you know, up and down. And I don't even think his Super Bowl, he got dinged playoff tickets. He was selling playoff tickets because you get, as a player, you get ticket allotments and, you're allowed to do whatever you want with them, but you can't sell them for more than face value.
You can't profit.
You can't profit. And dude, when you get a Super Bowl ticket for free, no one gives it away and no one sells it for what, because the face value on them isn't that much.
I mean, you're looking at what, $5,000 to $10,000 maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. The only way, like, with mine, I had like real players that basically said, I'm buying your tickets, and I didn't have a say in that. Like, when Warren Sapp's like, I'm taking your tickets, here's the face value, I can't be like, screw you. Like, you're like, But everyone else, yeah, like, I'm surprised it's only 100 players. It's only 100 players.
Well, it's just 100 that got caught.
That's the 100 that got caught. Yeah. Some dudes are selling these things for thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars.
So it says, under an agreement between the league and the players, players who violate the rule will be fined 1.5 times the face ticket value and lose their allotted tickets to the next 2 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
If they're playing in the game, the players will have the chance to purchase seats. God. Those who decline the punishment could be suspended by Commissioner Roger Goodell.
Mm.
Yeah. Wow.
You can buy, and by the way, again, it's been a long time, but I think it's still the same. You get 2 tickets at face value that you can buy, and then you can do whatever you want with them other than sell them for more than face value. So what the guys that play, like the big players, like those guys need to get like, I mean, some of those guys are bringing 50 people to the Super Bowl. So everyone goes around to teammates and players they know, and you're trying to gather as many tickets as you can. And, you know, for underlings, they, you know, what's weird is they strong arm the ones that actually probably need the money, but the dudes that have some cachet, they make those guys pony up a little bit more. So it's a weird kind of prison system that gets worked there. And you would think it'd be the other way around. You think they would let the dingleberries like me, you would think they would give me way more money because I actually needed the money versus someone that doesn't, but that's not the way it works. But it's a bad, you know, it's the worst kept secret in football. And maybe this is just one of those where they're trying to make an example, or maybe it got really egregious. Like maybe a couple people got caught selling them for big, big money. Maybe a reporter got wind of it or something. And the NFL's like, damn it.
Or they're just floating this story out there. Nobody got, they're saying that it's happening. So to deter them from doing it next year.
And so someone's saying, does every NFL player get tickets even if they're not playing it? Yes, you can buy 2. Doesn't mean that you have to, but you have the ability to buy 2 tickets.
All right, it's the rise of the trades and some new data. Who is moving to Portland and where are fleeing Portlanders going? That is next on In the News. But first, Buck here on 105.1 The Fan.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
All right, welcome back. It is July 25, 2025. It is time now for In the News. I'm your noted sexy newsman. Thank you. Thank you, ladies. Please be seated.
He's not just a piece of meat, ladies.
I'm more than that.
Mainly a piece of meat.
You're about that, plus a little.
Yeah, I like that. You're about that life.
Today is Aunt and Uncle's Day.
Oh, right. Go aunts and uncles. It's a little awkward.
That was a little awkward.
Well, I'm an uncle, but like, I don't talk to either one of my nephews. So it's like, I'm not really an uncle. Although I've got like, I think I'm like an uncle for like 4 friends' kids. Does that count?
Oh yeah, Uncle Jay.
Yeah, I'm Uncle Jay to like a handful of people. I'm an uncle to everyone other than my actual nephew. Is that a good? What does that say about me?
I don't know. That can go either way.
Right?
But the bad way is that, you know, Uncle Jason.
Yeah.
You know, like Uncle Touchy type of, like, it's not.
Well, like back in the day, like I would go down to the coast, like with my extended family, and it was always weird because there was like Uncle Jay's cooler. And I'm like, oh my, really? Do we have to have that? Like, I don't. Does it need to be pointed out that Uncle Jay's cooler? It does. It sounds like something bad's happening.
Yeah, it's
in
not
there.
Good.
It's just some Coors in there. Everyone, calm down.
But it also means, on the good side of things, it means, you know, you're good friends. You're close. You're so close. You're calling him family, uncle. Just not the bad uncle.
Exactly. I got one side where Uncle Jay is like, I think the story is like, good thing Uncle Jay is not at Thanksgiving anymore. And then the other, the friends, it's like, oh, Uncle Jay is great.
It is also National Drowning Prevention Day.
Oh, that's good. Because that always makes me sad. Every summer, right?
It makes me sad.
Yeah, it happens all. I mean, Malcolm Jamal Warner, right?
But I would like to ask the question, how do you prevent drowning other than be careful? You know, like, you just,
just
be careful.
I think that people do not respect the dangers of water until it's too late.
No, they don't. Or they just don't know. They just don't know. They're not educated. They don't know.
Well, again, if I'm out.
So be careful.
Yeah. Well, if I'm out in our lovely waterways, I'm a big fan of just throw a life vest on. It makes it more enjoyable. You don't have to worry about, you know, you're having some drinks in the water. You can just kind of float there. You don't have to sit there and tread water. It just makes it, it's a better way to do it. Just, if you're jumping in a river or a lake, throw on a life jacket. And if you think it like looks unmanly, throw a diaper on. But you turn the life jacket upside down and you just kind of sit in it. It works great too. And you can put beers in there as well. I'm a big fan of the upside down life jacket. But everyone always acts like you're doing something like crazy if you wear a life jacket.
Well, Gen Z is driving a surge in trade school enrollment.
Well, that's good. We need more trades.
Good.
Yeah. College interest is declining post-COVID. So Gen Z, people born between 1997 and 2012, they are now being called the Tool Belt Generation.
Well, good. I think a lot of people are figuring out going into a debt, $150,000 to get a generic degree that you don't know what you're going to do with and then struggle to find a job. Go to a trade school and come out making $75,000-$80,000 a year being a plumber.
Well, the other thing, too, is it used to be really smart to be going into tech, but with all this AI, a lot of tech jobs are going to be going away, so you need these jobs. Yeah.
A record number of kids are ditching traditional college plans for alternatives that save time and money. Interest in going to trade school has nearly doubled since 2017, and university enrollment has declined 6% since the pandy. This according to the National Center for Education Statistics.
I love it.
More kids are realizing they can go out and earn a great living with an amazing career and make very good money. Studies show growing skepticism around access, affordability, and the value of a degree is fueling the shift in enrollment for trade programs.
Yep. And it all makes sense. But there's also, you know, we need doctors, we need engineers. You know, you need those people too. A nice balance, if you will.
This is a study from U-Haul.
There's U-Haul studies?
Well, yeah, because they like to know where people are coming from and going.
Oh, that
you know,
sense.
With their trucks and
stuff.
Yeah,
sure.
So, I mean, you know, I don't know if you trust a U-Haul study, but it's one marker.
It's a piece of information. It's a piece of data.
That's right. Nearly half of all residential moves in the United States happened during the summer between Memorial Day and Labor Day, according to U-Haul's new report on mid-year migration trends.
But they say that, too. Like, you don't want to sell a house over the holidays. No one wants to move in the winter.
New data shows that for the first time since the pandy, major U.S. cities could be starting to grow again. Most of the U-Haul customers arriving in Portland, Vancouver, and Hillsboro so far in 2025 have come from which state?
Well, I'm assuming California.
Washington.
Ooh.
With movers from California coming in second, followed by Arizona, Idaho, and Texas.
Well, the Washington thing makes sense. I would assume that any state's biggest migration is going to be to the state right next to it. Right?
That's fair.
That stands to reason.
Yeah. I mean, we've looked multiple times because me and the BTJ both work in Oregon, and it's just the housing costs are the only thing that has kept us... You know, with it's more expensive, the homes over here, and then the interest rates. We have a really good one. That's the only thing. Other than that, I mean, we've looked at moving here multiple times. And I would assume vice versa. If you have a job in Washington, you live in Oregon, my guess is, you know, you're looking to head on over.
Well, Portlanders who left Oregon moved most frequently to what U.S. city?
Washington.
That's, I mean, it is a city, but
oh well,
it's not
Seattle or Vancouver.
Yeah, Seattle is one.
Yeah,
followed by San Francisco, L.A., Phoenix, and Spokane.
So again, we're all staying in the same. You're on the coast. We're not moving to Arkansas.
Yeah, makes moving sense. Up to Seattle.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of that, did you see we? This kind of goes hand in hand. We're talking about we've lost a fan employee.
What do you mean?
The great Big Will Betts.
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
Yes.
Yeah, has he announced that yet, or are we?
I have also heard that. I don't know if what's.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know if we're supposed to be saying that.
Well, no. I mean, he's moving next week, so I mean, it's. He told me. He said the cat was out of the bag.
Well, you want to announce it to the people?
The great Will Ortner, Big Will Betts, is off to Texas.
Yeah.
Yep. He's going to Dallas.
Going to Dallas.
He's going to be a gigolo.
Good for him. Lost all that weight. Go down there and be a man whore.
A male gigolo.
Hell yeah.
And he's doing some podcast or something?
Yeah, he's working for like a YouTube company doing a lot of like, I think he's covering some NFL YouTube stuff and doing right. some gambling and
all, right.
all that. So all right. I love that he put it in the wind and went out there and chasing yeah. the dream.
That's what they say you got to do in this business.
Yeah, man.
He's young. He can move. He's single. He can move around. Like, great move.
Will Betts, Big Will Betts, return to Oregon ever?
Nah.
You think he's gone from the nest?
He'll do well down there. Yeah, he'll do well.
Dallas, cool city.
It's a great city.
I like Dallas.
Yeah, he'll do real well.
All right.
Affordable housing, and so he'll meet a lady right. down there and. He'll buy a
yeah,
house.
See, there you go.
Yeah, he ain't going anywhere.
Find some rich Texan.
There you go. He'll do just fine.
Before you know it, he's religious and living in Waco.
He's a sweet guy. He'll meet a church going gal.
He'll do well for himself down there.
Yeah, excited for him.
All right. I've got some more news for you coming up next.
I like when you give me news.
We're going to check in. So we have yet to do this. We're going to check in on how it's going in Lake Oswego. Remember I told you about the...
Yeah, the big fight?
Well, it's not... Well, yeah. The fight is over. Well, the fight isn't over. The Lake Oswegans are still fighting us poors for access to the lake. But so far, they've lost. So they've added... So there's this guy that's a ranger that sits and... talks to people.
We talked about him, I think, right? Yeah.
Well, I teased it. We've yet to get to
I don't
to
think
it.
We went in depth.
Okay. Yeah. I just want to tell you about this guy. And it's just so weird. Everything in Lake Oswego just seems so weird around this whole
strange things are
lake
happening.
Access
well,
thing.
Well, they don't want the pores on the water, and they're willing to fight, damn it.
So we'll get to that coming up next on In the News here on The Fan.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Yeah, that's right. Primetime with Isaac and Suk here on the new Fan Global Sports Network. Joey Harrington next hour. Right now, this is In the News, July 25, 2025. So let's check in on Lake O. You know, it's been a big battle. The people of Lake Oswego do not want plebes like you and I using their lake.
No.
With our watercraft.
No one wants your inflatable Daffy Duck raft or your lobster out there on their lake. Waters.
Well, it's funny because it's like, well, anyway, it's been this big, long court battle, and finally it was ruled that the public can use Oswego Lake, but you can't put a boat on it.
No.
So, you know, what are you doing? Like, stand-up paddleboarding? Yes. Like you said, like an inflatable raft, maybe.
I still find it, like, if they never would have done this, how many people are driving all the way to Lake Oswego to put in a raft?
Right. So... This was in Willamette Week, and they're talking about Ranger Taylor, okay? So he's this dude who stands at the gateway to the Lake of Oswego and welcomes visitors to his waterway.
Yeah, he welcomes them. I don't think that's the way it goes.
Well, it sounds like he's a pretty nice guy, although it says that he is not allowed to do interviews. They will not. Ranger Taylor has to shut up.
So he can't ask if I live in the neighborhood.
The Lake Oswego City Parks Department has stationed Ranger Taylor at the top of four concrete steps that lead down to the green water of Lakewood Bay. The steps in Lower Millennium Park used to feature metal signs reading Private Lake. Now they don't. Instead, Ranger Taylor stands there.
Oh, Ranger Taylor.
Assigned by the city to 10-hour shifts at the water's edge. Basically, they have... hours. I don't know if you know... Have you been down there?
It's been years.
So, the area... with which they allow you to access the lake mm-hmm. is really, really small.
Yeah, I've been out there a couple times, but it's been to people that own homes on there. So I don't know if I've ever actually been to the little.
So you know
there.
Where they have the fountain down there, and then yes. there's that little hotel.
Yes, I know of what you speak.
There is a sliver of an area right in between those two things. And that's where Ranger Taylor is, and that's the only place you can access the lake.
Okay.
And there's just like these steps going down into the water.
Yeah.
It's really bizarre.
Sure.
At any rate, he's dressed
in... It's almost as if they don't want you on the water.
Yeah, exactly. He's dressed in long green pants and in a khaki shirt. He carries a ring of keys. He wanders between groups of people carrying kayaks and paddleboards to the water. Ranger Taylor tells them the Oregon Marine Board rules for boating. Carry a whistle or an air horn. Stay between the shores, the shore and the buoys, and put on a life jacket. Please don't go in the center of the lake. Just giving you folks a heads up. Ranger Taylor, he has dozens of these conversations on a hot Sunday afternoon. It's the same routine he's had every Thursday through Sunday since May when they created his gig. 2 months after a Clackamas County Circuit judge ruled that Oswego Lake must be open to the public.
Can I ask what Ranger Taylor was doing before this? Like,
well, they don't know because they can't interview him.
We're not allowed.
Mum.
Do not look
mum.
At Ranger Taylor. Do not speak to Ranger Taylor. Do not taunt Ranger Taylor. I'm fascinated by I kind of want to go down and talk to Ranger Taylor.
He is not authorized to speak to the press. He doesn't want to get in trouble, so he won't give quotes, and he does not offer his full name. Most of all, he won't confirm how many newcomers are floating on Oswego Lake each day.
I love how they're trying to... Dude, can someone mismanage something worse than what the fine, rich, white people of Lake Oswego are doing here?
Well, they really are. Okay, so it's not a big secret, but their city manager says that 126 people visited the park and 71 went in the water. But they're being really weird about who gives out that information. Like, yeah. They won't let anybody tell, you know, like, disseminate that.
Yeah.
They're so controlling the numbers.
It's so strange. Let it go, man. Just let it go. It's okay.
This also says that most of the people entering the lake, at least on this day that they went out there, are actually residents of Lake Oswego. They're again, from there.
Well, again, I'm asking, to a narrow little strip there, to the people not being very friendly, you cannot bring motorized boats. Where is this influx of people? You think the people from Hillsborough are driving all the way out to Lake O? To what, float on your water? Like, no one's doing
I think they think that. I do. I think they think that.
Our water is nicer and better than yours, and therefore everyone wants
right.
to be here.
Yeah, I think they probably think everyone wants to be in Lake Oswego.
And I wonder what the catalyst is. Was it the same goober coming every week that they were just sick of? Like, like you said, there can't be that many people doing this. So was it one guy that ticked them off?
It's just so dumb.
Tara Forseth is one of a few naysayers who will speak on the record.
Oh.
She owns a home in the town's Palisades neighborhood where she bought the house. She thought it came with lake access, but it didn't. No matter, she still thinks opening the water will increase car traffic on her suburban street. She says, I just don't care so much for other people from other cities coming into our nice, quiet community. I understand that it's fair. If I didn't live here, I'd like it to be public.
I don't want people from other communities.
That's a great line. If I didn't live here, I'd want it to be public. But I live here, so screw you.
She sounds like a wonderful individual. Jeez. Again, I want someone to organize a caddy swim there from 1 to 115. Let's go.
A few feet away, her husband looks warily over Lakewood Bay, which at the moment has three people in it. Another man walks up
three?
To him. Yes. Another man walks up to him and points to new arrivals carrying kayaks, says, isn't this great? He goes, no, not really. God.
No, not really. Go to hell. Oh, man. I guess when you're out there, do you just have to, like, invent problems, right? Are you just...
Yeah, just things to bitch about.
Yeah, you got nothing else to do, so you just, you know, conjure something up and you get pissy about this. seems like a really weird thing to get all bent out of shape over. But
well, if you're going to jump in the water in Lake Oswego,
Ranger Rick, right?
Ranger Taylor.
Ranger Taylor, sorry.
not Ranger Rick, although great magazine growing up. He will guide you. And he will fill you full of so many rules, you will turn around and go away.
But don't talk to him. He disseminates information, will not answer any of your questions. And his green pants on a 90-degree day.
I really do love this battle.
It really is.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Well, when rich people get bent out of shape over non-rich people, it's always fun, right? It's just... And it's usually... There's never a real complaint. It's just rich people wanting to not have to rub shoulders with some stinkers. That's all it is.
Are they really stinkers if they have, like, go talk to the people who have...
No, they're just not as rich.
Exactly. They have they have kayaks and paddleboards. Are they really awful people?
They're bringing their own personal watercraft. They're stealing yours.
Go talk to the people in Northeast Portland who have rows of homeless people in front of their houses.
Hey.
Now, that's...
If you don't want homeless people in front of your house... Move to a richer neighborhood. That's what they'll say. I do like when the rich people are like, this doesn't happen in our community. No less.
Yeah, no kidding.
Go figure. Ah, wonder.
Boy, I tell you. Yeah. I tell you. that is in the news July 25th, 2025. Brought to you by the Advocates Injury Attorneys at advocateslaw.com. A few Friday musings coming up next. RIP, the most traded player of all time. Next on 105.1 The Fan.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.